In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. During my college years, I waited tables, like a lot of college students, make a few extra bucks. And by the way, as an aside, I highly recommend doing this. You really get to know people at their best and at their worst, and everywhere in between. You get to know people. I don't know if it's because they're hungry or what, but you really get to know them. It was a great experience. Anyway, one young woman I worked with who had a sparkling wit said to me a few times, "I read the Bible. I'm looking for loopholes." Our readings start out today with something we should all be familiar with, the Ten Commandments. Ideally, we wouldn't need them at all. Living them would be natural. That's the ideal. However, you know, and I know, that deep within us lies a rebellion against them. We constantly try to get away from them, to justify ourselves and our actions, seeking to find ways around them. We read them looking for loopholes. It's a rebellion that goes all the way back to our first parents. And so God, in his infinite love and mercy, gave us a guide, this guidebook, if you will, a how-to on how to become holy like himself, this sure guide for leading to perfect holiness. And so now ask yourself, do you want to be holy? Do you want to be holy with the holiness of God? To be holy with the holiness of Jesus? To be holy with the holiness of his saints? Is that something we actually desire? Or in our fallenness and weakness, do we think that it is enough to just be a good person? I don't need religion or the church. I just need to be a good person. It's something we hear a lot. But, and I hope this doesn't disappoint you, it is absolutely not enough to just be a good person. No, that is the least that you can do. That's the minimum. Think about it. What is the alternative? You and I and the entire human race, we are expected to be good people. That's what we're supposed to be. But God wants you and me to be more. He wants us to be saints, to live lives of heroic virtue, to give and give and give until it hurts. Think about it this way as well. We could say, I'm a good person. You know, I'm nice to people. I don't cheat on my spouse. I don't cheat on my taxes too much. I don't murder anybody. I'm not Hitler. I'm a good person. If I meet God in the afterlife, then I think everything should just be fine. I am comfortable with myself as is. Well, there are more than a few things problematic with this way of view. But first and foremost, think about it. What do you mean by a good person? What do you mean? What you mean isn't necessarily what the person sitting next to you would mean, even if you know that person well. And what happens if your definition of a good person is in direct conflict with the other person? Only one of you can be right for it to be a really good person. Is a good person someone who doesn't cheat on his wife or husband? Someone who doesn't murder people? And I think everyone would say, oh yeah, definitely. A good person wouldn't do those things. Okay, well, let's go deeper. Does a good person give 10% of their income to charity to help the poor? Well, I think you can be a good person without doing that. Maybe 5% or 2%. Okay, well, does a good person drink a little too much every now and then and maybe drive home. They're not drunk, you know, but they're not quite sure either. Some would say, well, no, good people don't do that. Others say, well, maybe that's okay. It's not that bad because they do it, right? Or how about speeding? Should you speed through a school zone when the lights are flashing? Well, no, of course, a good person wouldn't do that. Well, what about in a 45-mile-an-hour zone? How about on the highway? How about on the interstate? Well, you can go, a good person can go 5 miles over. Well, no, I think a good person can go 10 miles over. Well, I think that none of that matters to be a good person. You can have lots of examples, you can see. But the whole thing becomes kind of just self-serving, right? Each person chooses what makes a good person. We choose what we already do and believe. We choose what makes us comfortable. We create our own religion, whose deity we see in the mirror, staring back at us every morning, confirming that we are indeed a good person. The point is, and listen, goodness should never be confused with mediocrity. I'll say that again. Goodness should never be confused with mediocrity. Holiness is the purpose for which we were created, and we cannot allow ourselves, at least, to be comfortable with the status quo. The minimum is not enough. Jesus made your body his holy living temple through the gift of baptism, and he nourishes that temple through the most holy Eucharist. And like the passage today from St. John, he wants to come to our temple and clean house with zeal. He wants to get in there and clear out anything that takes you away for the beauty for which you were created, for which you were born and reborn. Zeal for your house consumes me, the disciples said about Jesus. Would people say the same about us, that we have zeal for the Lord's house? Pray this Lent for the same zeal of Jesus, and be zealous in moving above mediocrity to beauty, striving for perfect holiness. The minimum, friends, is not enough. Now, does this scare you? It should. To whom much is given, much will be required, Jesus says in Luke's gospel. But it should also thrill you, because it means that you are infinitely important and always loved. What's more, you have an army of saints at your back to help you. You have the sacraments and the scriptures at your disposal. So do not settle for the minimum. Choose today, at this Mass, this Lent, choose to be holy. Choose to be a saint. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.